Yo, what is going on, Mike?
Yo, what's good with it?
Hey, let me publicly apologize to Mike because I swear I had hit this man again. I didn't.
When?
About it's what? Just when we were supposed to pod and I had hit you.
Last week?
You was like, damn, fam.
No, he hit me, but he texted me like, with me and Bang, when we pod, you know, we like to, on Tuesdays, we like to do it at around like 4:45. That's like a good time that works for both of us. But he texted me what Bang normally lets me know, like, yeah, it's a go for us to pod today. He texts me like, you know, early in the day, like, you know, around 12.
I would also make sure time because so y'all know, I normally record summer sessions. And then, like, I normally do this and then I record summer sessions.
Yeah.
So Tuesday be Pod City.
Yeah. And then, you know, so Bang texts me, you know, at like a good 1 o'clock time, which gives me time to be like, all right, cool, we pod. So last week he texted me. So I'm like, look, if I don't, I always say in my head, and my wife always asks me too, like, are you doing your pod today? I'd be like, Bang didn't text me. So nah, we ain't doing it. So Bang texts me last week. It was 4 o'clock. I'm like, yeah, Bang, you probably should have texted me about 2 hours ago, bro. We ain't gonna be able to do it. You know, I gotta do some eighth grade parent stuff. So, you know, but it's all good though. It's all good.
Like, but it's just been so much stuff that's been going on.
I understand.
These past couple of weeks. And last week was probably the time we needed to pod.
Yeah.
Because the shit started to hit the fan.
She still hit the fan though.
Yeah, and I would like to say Mike be knowing. Mike be knowing. Before we do that, Some Dude Pod episode 211. 211, drunk episode. Have you drunk 211 in your life, Mike?
Bang, story time.
Let's go. Story time with Mike. Because I got a 211 story time as well.
I got one too, bro. So if anybody that knows, all right, so shout out to Mike Webb. Shout out to Lil Rock, my homie. You know what I'm saying? So back, I was drinking this shit. So the first time we drunk 211 was the last day that the circle was open. So I think I talked about the circle. Like, we talked about the circle. Like, I was there. We was there at the last day that the circle was popping. The last day it was open. I can't remember which year it was or whatever like that. But I know I was underage. And I remember going to this liquor store in Maywood right there on 17th, right by the expressway. And
oh, that's one of my favorite liquor stores.
That liquor store is still there.
Yes.
So we went over there and we got, I don't know what made us drink Steel Reserve. I don't know why we decided.
And I got mine from the same spot too. That's crazy.
I don't know what made us get this beer, bro, but we was like, look, we go drink 211 tonight. This is what we own, okay? We drinking this
episode
shit.
211. Miriam looking at me crazy. This is episode 211, so we're starting out the pod. With a 211 story. Have you ever had some 211, Miriam? You have? Oh my God.
Miriam, about that life, boy.
My wife done had 211.
Check her out, boy. That's right.
Shit. We gotta have a conversation after this pod.
Yeah, we need to know. We need to know what transpired the night.
Yeah, I don't want to know. I don't want to know what happened when my wife had malt liquor.
Hey, bro.
Imagine you having the conversation. So what happened when you had some smoked liquor in hell?
Crazy.
I don't know.
But look, man. Yeah, Joe. So I don't know what, you know, made us get 211, but we heard the rumors about 211. We was like, yo, this is what we used to call it. We call it crack beer.
Yeah.
So this is crack beer. So you could drink a half a can of this shit, bro, and you're going to be lit, okay? So we was like, it's cool, whatever. We drinking this shit, bro. But yeah, we drunk that shit, bro, and we was at the motherfucking Circle, fam. The last night that shit was popping, bram, and we was with our, you know what I'm saying, little female, your digs that we was messing with, you know what I'm saying, or whatever at the time. And it was just a night, bro. It was a night. But I promise you, I've never drunk that shit ever again since then, bro. I would never want to get drunk that fast. That was absolutely insane.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely the fastest you will get drunk.
You will get drunk the fastest drinking 211. So that's pretty much my testimony on 211. I would never drink it again. But it was an experience.
Yeah. I don't know who was driving. I don't know who was driving. But me and my homie Roger, we was in the back seat, and we got to the liquor store on 17th.
Well, back still, what? We're going to get to that comment by B-Dot in a second. Go ahead, man.
Wild. That's wild. We went and got a deuce-deuce. We was just like, man, fuck it. Let's just grab a deuce-deuce or something. We had money. But niggas was like, let's get a deuce-deuce. So I grabbed a deuce-deuce 211. This, as soon as I open it, this nigga taps the goddamn bottle. So I had to chug that bitch. And I killed the bottle of 211. Now, you know where my folks stay at.
Mm-hmm.
From that liquor store to the in front of that house, about time I got into the front of that house, I was drunk. Because I had to chug the 211. I was like, man, I'm going to whoop your ass after I get sober, fam. So ever since then, like, we just, if we see a motherfucker with a bottle, we're going to pop tap that bitch.
Do they still sell Steel Reserve?
They got to. Crackheads got to drink something. Crackheads got to drink something.
Crack beer right there, man.
Man, crack beer. Crack beer. And it just shows you how bad we was out here at certain points in our life. Yeah. Shouts out to my cousin D. Like, we had a moment in life where we would go to the liquor store and get some St. Ives 40s. I don't know why.
You was deep in them trenches, boy.
Yeah, we was deep in them trenches. Shouts out to my homie Rick. I was the only black dude in his wedding party. The night before he got married, we all got some 40s, and I got some King Cobra. I don't know why.
I don't think I've ever had a King Cobra.
I've had King Cobra, St. Ives, 211.
Yeah, you
slitched. The first liquor I've drunk was Old Milwaukee. Shouts out to my grandfather. We had a whole ass episode about how Canadian Mist, that's a liquor that I've never seen good things happen to people who have drunk Canadian Mist. I've never seen good things that happen to people that drunk Canadian Mist. Anytime I've seen people drink Canadian Mist, I've seen knives being put to people's throats and guns being pulled out. And I mean at like 6-7 years old, Mike. I had a troubled childhood. That's why I got therapy.
You grew up fast, man. Yeah. Yo, have you ever? For whatever reason, this is still on my bucket list. I want to try it. But have you ever drunk a Four Loko?
No, I'm not doing that shit.
I've heard stories.
I'm an adult now. I'm a grown adult now.
Because at the time when I was like, people were drinking it, like we were young, but they was drinking. I'm like, why? Like, but I've heard crazy stories about Four Lokos. So no shot.
Y'all can have that
one. No shot.
Nah.
I need to try it one time.
Nah, I think I get sick. Now, if I drink anything like that, I'll get sick. I'll stick with my tequila. Shouts out to B-Dot. Yes, goddamn right. Real grandfathers drank Old Milwaukee. If your granddaddy didn't drink Old Milwaukee, then your granddaddy was lame. My granddaddy stayed with a six-pack of Old Milwaukee, Jack. I thought that was the beer of kings at one point. Old Milwaukee? Me and my cousin Gregory, we was wrestling, and my grandfather said, whoever lose gotta drink this Old Milwaukee. And Gregory, a year and a half older than me, he got me. And I was skinny. I was like Landon size at the time. And he wasn't. He was a little stocky little nigga. That nigga got me. Gregory used to whoop my ass. Shouts out to Greg. And my grandfather was like, drink it. And I drank that shit. 6 years old. First time I had a drink. Old Milwaukee. Real granddad's had Old Milwaukee. Then it went from Old Milwaukee to seeing my father drink Miller Genuine Draft. So it's like, nigga
that's had your father's go-to beer? That's his go-to
beer? In the 90s, that was his go-to beer. So I was drinking Miller Genuine Draft. Like, when I started drinking, I was drinking Miller Genuine Draft. Like, all right, this is the beer to get. And then I grew up. And it's like, yeah, I ain't drinking this shit no more.
Yeah.
What the fuck was wrong with me?
I don't know if my grandfather drunk. Well, my grandfather on my father's side, he passed early. So I don't know. But my other grandfather, he passed away a few years ago. I don't think he drank beer. I think he was like a dark liquor connoisseur. But my father, though, he drank, his go-to beer is Special Export.
Oh yeah, that's that.
To this day.
You see half-naked women on them Special Export posters.
to this day.
I think Lisa Ray was on the special export poster.
Oh yeah, I got the Google.
Somebody famous was half naked with just half naked.
Oh, the special export. Yeah, that's how they was giving it up.
Export. Oh yeah.
Shout out special export.
Oh look, them nineties posters with beer and liquor. Stay with a half naked woman.
Yeah,
special export. That's how I know about special export. I've never entertained ever drinking special export in my life. But you go in the liquor store, you're going to see a half-naked woman.
Yeah.
Special export.
Let me get a six-pack of that.
Get a six-pack of
With the woman on it.
And like Lisa Ray was either on a poster of special export or like Schlitz. It was one of them. But yeah, shouts out, man. I ain't been in a hood liquor store in quite some time. I wonder, do they still have those posters of the women in bikinis peddling beer? Do they do that? Like the 80s, when you think about this shit, like the 80s and 90s was good for women in bikinis selling shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Renee, my cousin Renee. I'm just exposing family and shit. So I used to go over my cousin Renee's house, right? And you know, we always be in the kitchen. So in the cabinet area, my uncle had a calendar with the tools. And it was with the women in bikini selling the tools. I don't know what the name of the tools were. I just know I used to walk into the club, up into the cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And go get what my auntie needed to get, but make sure I looked at that calendar to see who was January or February or March. I don't know if that man had a lifetime subscription to this. I know he was a mechanic, but that calendar was not in the bedroom, was not in like his closet or whatever. It was in the pantry.
Mm-hmm.
And I made sure that I went, hey, let me go get some oodles and noodles and see who missed January.
Yeah.
And she'd be like laid over the the tool cabinet. Just
how old were you with this? How old were you?
Nigga, I was seven, eight, nine.
Yeah, you grew
10.
Up way too fast.
7, 8, 9, 10.
Shout out to your therapist, bro. They your therapist got it. Working on you, fam.
Man, I know I grew up fast. This,
if
you don't get nothing from this podcast, if you don't get nothing out of this podcast, I was a freak bull.
Mm-hmm.
I was a short
man.
And we had cable when I was seven. Goddamn softcore. I know damn near every episode of Real Sex.
Man,
I've seen a full season of Red Shoe Diaries.
Look, man, I didn't start growing up, quote unquote, growing up till I was about 12, 13 years old.
Boy.
You got some years on me and probably any other person in this world.
Yeah,
right? Man. So shout out to you.
Yeah, man, shouts out. Hey, that's why I look at my kids and I be like, man, fam, I'm glad that y'all don't know half of what I know.
That's going to be a great story time right there, bro, when they get old.
Shouts out to 2002, A Sex Odyssey. It's one of the first softcore movies that I've ever watched. It's great. Just Google it.
Yeah, that's all you got to do.
Just Google it. It's a great movie. Great movie. Matter of fact, just Google it. It was a great movie. It was a George Washington joint that showed up on Cinemax. Like, we really got to have a conversation about how freaky the 80s and the early 90s were. Like, we do. Like, if we gonna have, it's garbage. If we gonna talk about Jay-Z and all of this shit that's going on and how rap and shit was wild in the 90s, we got to understand why that might be the case. And when there's movies like Porky's, And like Toxic Avenger showed breasts for no reason. Like the '80s was wild with the movies. Like the fact that I remember 2002 A Sex Odyssey is wild. The fact that I can go and be like Red Shoe Diaries, and not flinch is wild.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I could see something on Cinemax and be like, oh shit. And the fact that I saw this at like 7, 8, 9 years old was wild.
I've discovered things at a young age, okay? Like I found my old man's magazine, the Dirty magazine. I didn't found the Black Tail magazines, you know what I'm saying? The Playboy magazines. I didn't found those magazines at 13, 12 like years old. Like I found them. I'm not supposed to be looking at this, but it was available.
That's how like, I learned some words. Like, you know, it was there. What's a cunt? Oh, that's
look, I had cable, okay? I was scrolling, you know what I'm saying? I was like up at night looking like, okay, what is this on HBO? What is this on Cinemax? But not at 7, 8 years
old. There's got to be a list. There's got to be a list. You could Google damn near everything.
And look, when I click on it, I'm like, wait a second. I'm like, wait, we got this channel?
See something.
I was in shock.
Oh my God. As soon as 10:35 Eastern, 9:35 Central on Friday,
oh my God,
on Cinemax happened, oh nigga, you was in for it all. But I'm gonna see something, Mike. You could damn near Google everything, or you could go to ChatGPT and Google everything. Best softcore porn movies of all time. Let's see if they be like, nah, we ain't doing that. Yeah, see, they say we ain't helping you with that, fam. On ChatGPT. Oh, nigga. All right.
You gotta take your you Googling it?
Yeah, I Googled
it. You gotta take your safe search off, bro. That's all.
Oh no, I went to ChatGPT and chat okay. was like, nah, we ain't looking at it. But Marie Claire has a list of the 24 best softcore porn movies ever.
Crazy times.
The number one is one movie that I did not see, but I need to see it because Alyssa Milano is in it. And okay. I've had a crush on Alyssa Milano since Who's the Boss? Embrace of the Vampire is number one. Number two is one that I did see, Animal Instincts. Number three, Angels of Sex. I ain't never seen that.
I'm a fan of the ones that's kind of like where they be like outer space and shit like that. Like I like
that's
those.
That's 2001 A Sex Odyssey. They was that's, out. That's the,
give me out. Those. Give me those, bro.
Two you know Moon Junction. Oh. I watched Two Moon Junction when I was not supposed to. Shouts out to my cousin Nicole. She rented it. We watched it. Did not get in trouble. Shouts out to her. Man, you know, all right. Let me go with my Hall of Fame. There we go. Yeah. Number 13 should have been number one to me. I'm going to tell you, in my opinion, the best softcore series of all time. Number one, and to me, it's not even close. It's Emmanuel. Bam. Emmanuel and all of them other ones was amazing. Look, y'all go look at that French woman, and she held me down as a shorty. Thanks. Number two, another one that I love a series is Red Shoe Diaries. That to me, like, you know, homie from goddamn the X-Files, he'll do the read, and then they'll go off and do the thing, that thing, like that one. And even though it's technically not softcore, but a movie that I love and I had no business watching as a kid, and we talked about it on the show before, Fatal Attraction. Mm-hmm. Glenn Close was in that damn movie. with Audra Day and everything. And everybody was talking about how Glenn Close looked black, got the black woman joint and all that stuff. And all I was is Lee Daniels did the joint. And all I was thinking was, man, when I was like 8 years old, I saw Glenn Close tan titties. That's all I thought. I was like, yo. Like when I was watching the movie, it was like, yo, I just remember not supposed to watch this.
Yeah.
But my mom had the cassette and I saw that and I saw the alternative ending when she unalived herself. I have no business watching none of this stuff when I was younger, Mike.
Crazy.
Why? Like, why do I know some of these movies?
It is what it is, bro.
Everybody, like, why, Mike, why do I know so much about Emmanuel?
Hey.
Emmanuel, they could remake Emmanuel, and I have no problem with this.
Hey, man. You just grew up a different way, fam. You know what I'm saying? Ways that other people can't. It is what it is.
Okay, Red Book got one too. I think it's the same one. Let me see if they got something. Shut up, Miriam. Yeah, Emmanuel number 7.
What she say?
Miriam laughing at me. She said, "You wonder why?" Like,
freak man, bang a real freak man.
Hey, look, man. Hotel Erotica. That's the other one. Oh my gear. Hotel Erotica. Boy,
oh yeah! Shout out Hotel. Hotel Erotica is
Emmanuel, Red Shoe Diaries, yeah. Hotel Erotica, Real Sex. What's the other one? Hookers on the Point. That was a good documentary.
Is Zane Sex Chronicles considered like soft porn?
Yeah.
That's the wood right there too. I fucks with that one.
And man. Scott, I tried to hit the Twitter button for some reason it didn't work. That's why.
Boss man monitoring.
Boss is on here. Boss is on here. I'm doing all this and I'm supposed to be taking care of do some stuff after this too. Like, this is crazy.
Hey, I saw, look, hey Scott, I was scrolling TikTok this morning, bro, and you know your weekly Bears recap came up, bro, and I just, my heart goes out to you, bro. Hey,
Scott got it worse than me because
you got my condolences, my boy.
Scott got it worse than me. You got to cover these niggas. I ain't got to go. I wrote an article today that they're gonna put up on Barbershop. I ain't gonna front. Last night, watching last night's game, compelled me to write an article.
Yeah,
about the Bears. I am sick and tired of the Bears. At this point.
And I know that's a discussion for a whole other pod, but
no.
I just wanted to send my condolences to Scott. I watched that TikTok this morning and I was like, I could see it in his eyes. My boy going through it.
I can't go as hard as I want to on I Ain't Gonna Hold You than I can here. But if a motherfucker in the Bears organization try to say anything about goddamn legacy and tradition, they kiss my ass. Let me try to do the Twitter thing now. If they say, I think it's gonna work. There we go. If anybody in the Bears organization try, we gonna go back to the softcore porn shit because I think that's important for Twitter. Because all of the porn that you see on Twitter.
Yeah, just click your For You page, my guy.
Just click the For You page.
Matter of fact, it ain't even softcore porn on there.
It's hardcore.
It's hard.
Hardcore.
No pun intended. Go ahead, man.
It's hardcore. But if anybody in the Bears organization talk about the rich history and tradition of the Bears organization one more time, I'm going to throw up. Where's the history and tradition since I've been alive? I've been on Earth since May 21st, 1982. In 86, the 85 Bears win the Super Bowl. And when you think about the 80s, them niggas underachieved. They only went to 2 NFC championship games. They underachieved 2 or 3. In the 90s, we watched Barry Sanders juke all over like John Roper and Barry Mentor and shit. The 90s was that. And then also Brett Favre. The 2000s, we got that LeBron Urlacher, Lance Briggs, Lovie Smith joint. We went to the Super Bowl, lost to Peyton Manning, and I bet. Ever since Lovie has been gone, though, where's the tradition? If we got to talk about some shit that happened in the 40s, 50s, 60s, where's the tradition? You need a new one at this point. Like, that's like a Christmas tree and you saying, hey, we've passed this Christmas tree down every year. We got to put it up. No, man, that tree raggedy, fam. We need a new tree. That's the Bears at this point. That's the Bears organization. The last time the Bears have seen some success, Virginia McCaskey was still going to the club, having a good ass time. She was still walking on her own, having a good ass time. This team is in disarray, and we're laughing stock. We're going to talk more about it on I Ain't Gonna Hold You on the holiday special. But right now, fuck them Bears. Until they get some shit straight, we're not even in the ghetto, Mike. We're not even in the ghetto. If you went to Michelle Clark, y'all know what House 5 is. House 5 is where the kids go and they stay in that one classroom all day long. They don't switch classes, if you know what I mean, Mike. Mm-hmm. They don't switch classes. They just stay there. That's the Bears at this point. They in one class. They don't go nowhere. And they need to get this fixed. Now back to softcore porn. Emmanuel had a particular episode where I think she was on a boat and she was going like to another country and like some dude slid through and was touching on her and she was like, yo, let's go. And it was like one big ass free fall. And I was like, wow, they do that. I think I was 10. I think I was 10. I said, Emmanuel, I damn near still know. Mm-mm. Yeah, so what? Mm-mm. Like, I damn near still know the theme song to Emmanuel. Like, Emmanuel in Paris. I think Emmanuel went to Africa. Like, Emmanuel went all over the world have sex with men and women. It was a great show. It was a great film series. They need to remake it. Like, Sydney Sweeney would be a great Emmanuel. I'm just saying, Sydney Sweeney, if Sydney Sweeney wants to remake some shit, she could be Emmanuel.
Hey. Look, man, look. She likes to show her titties. Might as well.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying, Mike. Hey, we remaking shit every day, goddammit.
Hey, look.
How come we can't remake? How come they can't do a remake of Red Shoe Diaries?
Bang, yeah, the times have changed. We not getting that no more.
Oh,
if you want to see, if you want to look, if you want to see that type of shit, bro, you're gonna have to. They still look, the Playboy channel is still a thing, so you're gonna watch. Yeah, actually, it is, bro. Yes, you can actually, when you go on Comcast and you scroll like past like 5:30 channels, and then
hey, Mike, how many times you rented a porn when you was a shorty and was like, that was done on accident?
No. See, that's the thing, though. See, that's I've never done that. I've never done that.
We're talking about Jay-Z right now.
No, bro, because I swear, dude, my old man had an illegal, he had the cable box, bro.
Oh.
He had, dude.
So you didn't have to do all that. You didn't have to go through all that.
Spice Channel was
you
right there.
So, Mike, you mean to tell me all right. Your life you didn't have to look for nipples and squiggly lines?
No.
Oh.
But it wasn't at 10 and 9 years old. It was like 12, 13. You know what,
Mike,
I'm saying?
Mike, I am so jealous of you. I am so jealous of you.
I grew up kind of early.
I went through life ordering movies and saying, I don't know how that happened. Or looking for nipples and squiggly lines.
I've never had to endure the squiggly lines. Oh, it was available.
Well, you're rich.
There.
Yeah, y'all was rich.
Shout out to my old man. No, we do. We had the cable man, bro. Yeah. We had the crackhead cable man hooking us up, bro.
Boy, me, Chris, and Mario, we definitely used to get out. I think I see a nipple. Mm-mm. There go a nipple. There go some hair. There go some pubes. You just hit niggas in the background.
Look, I got to watch all the WWE pay-per-views, all the boxing matches, all the boxing matches.
And you didn't watch no porn.
And look, in the Spice Channel, all that shit was available.
So you made sure WWE.
WWE. You know what I'm saying? Boxing.
Porn.
And porn. It was all available to me.
Boy, y'all had the house.
For the free 99.
Oh, y'all had the house. Y'all had the house.
I feel like my old man, he knew it was on there, but I think he just like, he knew it was on there, but I think he didn't think that I would discover it.
Oh, no, he knew. As a father,
I think he was like,
hoped you discovered it. That's what he did. He hoped your ass.
Whatever happened with that, bro.
And you can't tell me my father didn't hope I didn't discover the magazines underneath the mattress.
Yeah.
In between the mattress. You can't tell me that my father didn't hope I didn't discover some of them tapes. Matter of fact, I took a picture of one of those tapes, Girls USA, with Ron Jeremy in there. Vanessa Del Rio. Oh, she had an epic scene in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Jay-Z.
Oh, man.
All right, so Mike B. Knowing, on a past episode when we start talking about the Diddy stuff, Mike, you talked about the thirst of people wanting other people to be involved in this mess that Diddy has somehow got himself into, allegedly. I even clipped it. Put it on YouTube Shorts. Folks was like, yeah, because, I mean, the bad people need to get down. Well, Jay-Z was added to a lawsuit that involved Diddy. A 13-year-old, well, a girl that was 13 years at the time, said that she was raped by Jay-Z and Diddy. She actually went on NBC, and on that NBC interview, which she was not seen, she talked about knowing that there's inconsistencies in this, in investigations, is even questions if Jay-Z was even in where she was at, and all of that stuff. Shut up, B-Dot. I'm not a prominent Chicago podcast, so I know he ain't talking about me. I'm not a prominent Chicago podcast. I'm just a nigga with a mic.
Crazy.
I am not a prominent Chicago anything.
You are, bang. Stop.
That shit left when I left Chicago 10 years ago. I am not prominent anything.
Save
I'm
it.
Just, I'm one of them niggas that's like, hey, everybody don't need a podcast. Everybody, I'm one of them. Like, everybody don't need a podcast, but you got one. Not prominent. So, B-Dot ain't talking about me. But what are your thoughts now that all of this stuff is out and Jay-Z is vigilantly fighting this? They said that they had like a meeting with press and they had binders and shit. What are your thoughts about now Jay-Z being his name being invoked in this?
This is honestly like, this is crazy to me, bro. And 2024 is just the hits just keep on hitting, bro. And the year ain't over with. And here we are, bro. It's just mind blowing to me that me and you are actually sitting here on a podcast discussing Jay-Z allegedly raping a minor, you know what I'm saying? Years ago, back in 2000, bro. And I don't know how to put it into words how I feel about it, bro, but it's just crazy because I don't want to sound like the guy that's caping for Jay-Z saying, yeah, all of this shit sounds like bullshit, because obviously Jay-Z is one of my favorite hip-hop artists of all time, and you know what I'm saying? Somebody who's done the great things for the industry, for the culture, and everything like that. So just to sit here and like, just sit here and that we're discussing this right now is just mind-blowing to me. And yes, I called this because it's just so crazy that everybody was so fascinated and about wanting to put other people in the room with Diddy with all of the stuff that he has going on. And it's just like everybody was all the pictures and stuff that's floating around on the internet surface. And they say, oh, Jay-Z, look how close Jay-Z and Diddy was. He had to be involved with some of the stuff that Diddy had going on, you know, as far as the freak offs is concerned. And now here we are now with Jay-Z's name being placed in a lawsuit for rape. It's just crazy to me, bang. And I can see what Jay-Z is doing and trying to do everything to clear his name. And all these opinions going around talking about some, oh man, Jay ain't said nothing about anything. Now all of a sudden he, you know, making statements and trying to clear his name so fast, he must be guilty. It's like, though, these opinions and shit that's flying around the internet, bro, it just makes me so mad. And I just, I'm glad I don't have Twitter fingers. I'm just,
no more.
Oh yeah, I used to be bad. Oh yeah, I have celebrities block me, but that's another story. But yeah, I'm glad those times are behind me, bro. And I just sit back and I just watch all the opinions surface and everybody, you know what I'm saying, say what they got to say about it. But it's still crazy to me, bro. And honestly, I hope when this all, you know what I'm saying, settles and, you know what I'm saying, like that, Jay-Z clears his name of this, and Diddy as well. I mean, Diddy is going through what he's going through with another case. But I will hope that this clears both of their names, okay? Because obviously that is an egregious.
I don't know about that Diddy shit.
That is an egregious claim to make. You see what I'm saying? Diddy's going through whatever he is. He's going through with his case as far as the speak office is concerned, and whatever charges are pending with that. But this right here, I would hope that his name is clear of this. Him and Jay-Z as well. Like, that's just like, those are egregious claims and something. Obviously, we don't condone any of that type of behavior, okay? So that would be crazy for something like that to be have any type of truth to it. That's how I feel about it. You know, Bang, where you at with it?
Hey man, that Diddy shit dead. No.
So wait, what do you mean? Do you feel like Diddy have something to do with this lawsuit specifically?
I don't think I'm not gonna speak on specific
because the freak offs are one thing, but this incident I'm not back to 2000 is crazy.
I'm not gonna speak on this one. Well, I'm not gonna say anything about this one in particular. Like this one in particular, like the raping of a 13-year-old is wild.
Crazy. And also, yeah, go ahead.
So, yeah, I don't know about that. But Diddy got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And at the very least, Diddy on camera whooping Cassie's ass.
Absolutely.
So, that's right there, boom. This is what I love about the Jay-Z thing. And we've said this on many occasions. Like, if you're not guilty, fight it. Now, yeah, Jay-Z's a billionaire and Jay-Z got a lot of stuff. But if it's anything involving like shit like this, I'm fighting tooth for nail. I'll go broke.
Absolutely.
I'll go broke. There's no way in hell somebody could say that I did that to them and I wouldn't fight that tooth for nail. Mm-hmm. And when I saw Jay-Z's first statement, I was like, yeah, if you ain't did this shit, this is the way to go about it. Mm-hmm. And he's going about it in a way that I can't help but to have, I can't help but to give him the benefit of the doubt. I wasn't there. I don't know. But in this particular situation, as soon as everything came out, hey, goddamn, what's the name? Benji Madden was like, yo, we was on tour. Mm-hmm. Shorty said that we was talking about tattoos and shit. I wasn't even there. I don't even know what you're talking about. There's proof of that. There's the father of this young lady said that he don't remember.
I don't remember this.
I don't remember this.
Listen to me, Bang. I have a 13-year-old daughter. Right. I have a 13-year-old.
I was going to ask you.
My daughter is 13 years old. I would remember anything of that nature. Anything of that nature, if I'm dropping her off somewhere, yeah, somewhere like that, I would remember. Okay. Yeah. And I just find it so crazy. Like, just thinking, like, I have a 13-year-old daughter. What would my 13-year-old daughter be doing getting dropped off at any kind of event and I ain't there? Like, she's not going to be at anything of that magnitude and I'm not, and I don't have any knowledge about it. So I don't know how things was going on back in the year 2000. In 2000, I was 14 years old. You know what I'm saying? I was graduating eighth grade. So I don't.
Mike, I'll go one better. If my daughter, if I had a daughter, and my daughter said she was raped and I was going to pick her up, I ain't forgetting that.
Never.
Not only if I ain't forgetting that, ain't nobody playing Jay-Z in the house. If Jay-Z in my city, I'm going to see him. He going to jail, lawsuits, all of that in 2000.
In 2000.
But I understand how shit might happen.
Yeah.
But the fact, but still, no matter what, the fact that her daddy was like, nah, I don't remember that one. Unless you're about to tell me that Jay paid dude off, that's when I was like, oh yeah, this shit dead. Because mm-hmm. ain't no way in hell I'll forget picking my daughter up and my daughter saying that she got raped by another nigga, let alone the rap superstar. Mm-hmm. Nah. That right there is when I was like, okay, we can move on here. Mm-hmm. But and there's a but to this. It's not Jay-Z. Pause. It's more about the thirst of people wanting celebrities to fall. That's nasty. That piece right there is nasty. Jumping to conclusions because you don't like somebody that you ain't never met in your life is crazy. It's crazy. Like, and this right here can fuck up people's lives.
Yep.
Like, I don't think people really understand that rape, sexual assault, pedophilia, where I grew up at, if you had an inkling that somebody was into some shit like that, niggas was dying.
Mm-hmm.
Either on the street or in jail.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the area I grew up. So the fact that Jay-Z fought so hard, all I was thinking was, oh yeah, that's cold in the street shit. He ain't trying to have that on his name. We ain't on that. But what I also love about the fight is, in a way, Jay-Z is exposing celebrities who pay for the shit to go away. Like, there was already reports that there's been numbers of celebrities that was like, nah, we gotta go ahead and pay that fine, that pay that, pay the five. We trying to make this go away.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what exactly are they trying to make go away.
And that's in regards to the Diddy Freakoff case.
Yes.
Correct. Okay.
Jay-Z said, I ain't the one. I ain't the one. So I can only imagine how many celebrities that's like, yo, pay the five. That's not a billionaire like Jay-Z. That's the shit that's concerning to me at this point. And I don't think that was intended for Jay-Z, but to me, that's what I'm looking at. If this is true, and there are other celebrities who are paying to make this shit go away, what are you paying for when Jay-Z saying, I'm fighting this shit? Mm-hmm. What are you paying for? I hope that Jay-Z opens up the floodgates for people suing for shit like this that may not be untrue and getting away with it because all you're doing is paying the five. I hope Jay-Z does that.
Mm-hmm.
But if other people that got less money than him is paying the five, I don't think that's never going to go away. But that's what's on my mind. Who's paying who to make things go away if they're involved in this? That's what you should be worried about.
Mm-hmm.
Once this Jay-Z shit, once she went on NBC and said, yo, I know it's some inconsistencies. Have a nice day, young lady.
Yep.
Have a nice day, young lady. And thank you for fucking it up for the other women who have dealt with this shit.
Yep.
Because that's what you just did. That's what you just did. Mm-hmm. And that's wrong. But for the people that are like him, like, nah, we ain't doing this, it's, again, accidentally exposing celebrities or just Hollywood in general for paying the five for shit to go away. Yep. And to me, that's the bigger story. If a billionaire rapper is willing to put himself out there to show you that this ain't me and to clear my name, why can't you do it? Why you got to pay the five? Why you got to say, hey, yo, man, just go ahead and get Tasha $20,000 and we'll make this go away?
Because I guess maybe just like, I don't know. Some people's reputation, they feel like it just ain't worth it, you know, to actually try to clear your name when you could just pay somebody off without having to deal with the feedback of whatever it is that's going to come with it. Because obviously, because if they feel like their name is, I'm just speaking like so hypothetically, they might feel like, hey, if my name gets mentioned in this and I know I wasn't involved anyway, I was not involved, but my name getting mentioned anyway, you know what I'm saying? That's just going to ruin his reputation regardless. So look, if I was like around or whatever, and I might have witnessed it, seen it, or heard about it, you know what I'm saying? Look, I just here just to clear my name of any of this bullshit.
Not on raping a 13-year-old.
Yeah, anything of that. Yeah, but see, that's what I'm saying. Like that's why shit. That's why I'm curious to hear.
And Jay-Z's a form, like Jay-Z ain't clean. Mm-hmm. Jay-Z's a former drug dealer.
Yeah, absolutely.
According to his raps. Mm-hmm. And according to, you know, other people, like he's mm-hmm. a former drug dealer. Being a drug dealer, there's nothing clean about selling crack. There's nothing clean. You're doing dirty shit.
Diddy has got into the fights. He done stabbed people. You know what I'm saying?
Diddy
like
stabbed people. He fought Kendrick.
He broke
Drake's arm or some shit. Like,
yeah, Jay too. That's what I'm saying. Jay didn't fought. Jay stabbed. Yeah, like he didn't done his dirt, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So
what did he say in the lyrics? Like I was just
the nigga I scratched him. He went home with aspirin or whatever, some shit like that. But you know, but at the end of the day, Jay, like you said, Jay has done his dirt, so he not squeaky clean. He not a squeaky clean guy, you know what I'm saying? So but still, when it comes to shit like this though, hey, you gotta do what you gotta do, bro, to clear your name up. And I applaud, you know what I'm saying, Jay-Z and Roc Nation for going about this in a, you know, expeditious way. Expeditiously. They are on it. You know what I'm saying? And again, I hope and pray that, you know what I'm saying, his name gets clear to this, because, you know, that's just something that you don't want to hear about anybody being involved in any of that. And I think Diddy is clear of that shit too, though, bro. I don't see Diddy being like involved with this specifically, this rape.
I would hope not. There's a number of men who have came out and said Diddy done raped him.
But this was all in results of the freak off shit. Once the freak off shit hit the fan, and you know what I'm saying, now he done been arrested. He did this to me. You know what I'm saying? Like a ripple effect. Like everybody wants to come out and be involved.
At this point, I've heard more men say Diddy than raped them than the women.
I would hate to see it. I would hate for those type of rumors to be true, bro. I would like, look, if Diddy, if you want to be a freak, man, you want to have freak offs, you know what I'm saying? And you want to, like, if you was trafficking people, you know what I'm saying? Because you wanted to have them at the hotel and y'all was doing whatever freaky stuff y'all was doing and y'all was involved in, that's one thing, bro. But rape? It's a whole different ball game here, fam. It's a whole different ball game.
Man,
I would feel like, why would you need to force yourself on anybody, bro? You're Puff. You're Diddy. You know what I'm saying? Why would you need to force yourself upon any human being for your sexual gain? It just makes no sense to me, you know? But again, I don't know. People go through whatever it is they go through, whatever's going on through their minds, you know? Hey. But I would hope that and pray that none of those rape allegations are true.
I mean, for the culture and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Because it's one thing, like I said, it's one thing to be a freak man. You want to be a freak man, baby oil, drugs, you know, whatever it is y'all do to have sex, you know what I'm saying, to get y'all going, that's cool. But rape, it's not necessary, my guy. It's not necessary. And you know, so that to people out there, like you said, bang, everybody wants to see the fall of the biggest celebrity in the world, one of the biggest celebrities in the world. They want him to be involved so bad. But again, the reason why I say that they want to see him involved so bad is so they can get on the internet and put their think pieces out to say that they were right, or, you know, want to be the first. Like I said, the clout of another celebrity's downfall, bro, is nasty. or just other celebrities in general, just gossiping about other celebrities, and you know what I'm saying, coming up with all these conspiracy theories and think pieces about other celebrities when they're in a bad position, just so you can have some type of clout on the internet is nasty. It's nasty, and it needs to stop. It needs to stop.
Yeah, it's. I mean, overall, it's disappointing.
Very disappointing.
I don't think it will ever change, but it's definitely disappointing to see folks just jump out and without no information, just go out there and say that this person has done these things. Mm-hmm. That's just wild. What's wild is, I don't know if you saw it in the group, but shouts out to Michael Vick. He's been hired by Norfolk State as their head coach. Okay. Shouts out to Deion Sanders and Eddie George.
Okay.
This starts with them. Deion Sanders start the process to make Jackson State successful. Eddie George just won like coach of the year in the division that Tennessee State is in. Ed Reed was supposed to be the head coach of Florida A&M, but that went left. Bethune-Cookman, excuse me.
Yeah.
That went left. But you see Michael Vick going back to his home state of Virginia. So we'll see how that goes. The one thing that I will say is NIL has helped this. Like NIL has made, in my opinion, has the potential of leveling the playing field when it comes to college. Like, let me say this, Mike. If I was rich, Chicago State would be a powerhouse.
We talked about this on the pod a long time.
Yeah, if I was rich.
Chicago State football team, basketball. Yeah,
if I was rich, Chicago State would be a powerhouse. Yeah. Not DePaul.
Not Chicago State specifically, bae.
Because I'm the person that go to the place that need work and build it up. DePaul had his day. Illinois had their day. UIC had their day a little bit.
Loyola, Chicago.
Loyola having their day right now.
Yeah. Right. Chicago State need they. It's Chicago State's time.
Right.
South side.
It would be between UIC and Chicago State.
UIC.
Because UIC is out, like UIC is like Southwest, is out west, South Loop.
That's more the west side. Yeah.
But they had some success a little bit. They've been to the tournament and all that. Mm-hmm. Nobody give a damn about the Chicago State Cougars. Like back in the day, if you went to Chicago State, they was like, yo, you dumb. Like Chicago State, people used to think about Chicago State as being like college for special education.
Oh, I never heard about that, but
like, man, know, nah,
I never thought of it that State? Way.
You are right? Like, what's Chicago State was like going to Austin if you damn. From the west side. Like, Chicago State was like going to Austin, like, you that's going there.
Crazy. Ugh.
If I was a millionaire, if I was Elon Musk. Or Elon Musk, however you say his name. If I was Elon Musk.
You putting your money in Chicago State.
Boy, Chicago State would be a powerhouse.
Okay.
Three things. This is why I can never get rich. Because if I got rich, I'd be like Mr. Wesley on Roadhouse. Like, I'll own the city. I'll own that town. I'd probably be like telling niggas to give me my money too. But what I would also do is put money in certain places. If I was Elon Musk, I was $4 billion up. Prosser High School would be a powerhouse in high school sports. Michelle Clark, which is now a high school, would be a powerhouse. Like, it'd be a Prosser versus Michelle Clark type of war going on, like the Battle for Laramie or some shit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But Prosser versus Michelle Clark would be a powerhouse, and I'll build both of those.
Yeah.
And I would put money in Chicago State.
Okay.
And that would be a powerhouse. They had new buildings. It'd be the Lee A. Davis Junior Sports Center.
Nick, check you out. You got this all planned out already.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Matter, yeah, that whole thing by Hanson Stadium. Mm-hmm. Like, I buy Hanson Stadium and rebuild that into one of them football stadiums like you see in Dallas. Yeah, no.
I feel like one of their programs are actually like solid. Is that their basketball team or is it the football team?
Their basketball team did better than what we used to them seeing.
I'm about to say, like, they got some, they did, one of their programs been putting up W's. I can't remember if it was the football team or the basketball.
They ain't got no football team yet. Okay, hold on. They're doing fundraising.
Something, bro.
They're doing fundraising. And I would raise that fund. Here's $1 billion plus $1 billion in NIL. Make Chicago State a power.
Damn. They basketball team 0-12 right now. See? God damn. Come on, let me see they women's.
Who the richest nigga in Chicago?
Damn, they women's team 0-13.
Who the richest nigga in Chicago? We got to find out the richest nigga in Chicago and why he ain't put up no NIL money for Chicago State.
Shit, man.
Why?
Yeah.
See, that's the conversation we need to have. Damn. See, these white folks be boosting on all of these goddamn sports programs and all of that. Like, that dude that was at Oklahoma State, I forgot my man's name. Hey, yo, what y'all need? We need a new stadium? There go the money. Go ahead. Sign over. Put my name on the wall. How come we can't get no nigga to put their name on Chicago State's basketball center? Huh?
Look, you could put the money up, but then you got to.
Where's Oprah?
You got to. Who's going to do your recruiting? Who's you got to? You going to have to recruit after that. You got to recruit.
We'll get a legendary Chicago high school coach to come through and get the city together.
Right.
And you ain't going to Duke, fam. You ain't going to Duke. You ain't going to Kansas.
Yeah,
right. You ain't going to none of them. Look at these facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Look what J.R. Bang did.
It's one thing. Look, it's gonna look pretty and all of that. You put the money in and all that stuff like that. But now we gotta recruit.
Yeah, we gonna get the players. NIL.
Recruiting is hard.
Man, did you see that boy from out DJ of the whatever? The kid that's number one recruit in the country. He went to BYU, fam.
Mm-hmm.
Went to BYU. And wait a minute, Mike, because I don't know if you saw this. But after he announced on First Take that he was going to BYU, that man, it was a joint that came out that said that he reached a $7 million NIL deal. My brother, you mean to tell me that these college students are getting announced what they're getting paid?
Yeah.
Mike, I'm telling you, we need that. We need a rich black person to invest in Chicago State. NIL, the Chicago State NIL Collective. We need that.
Yeah.
We got to have it. Build that into a powerhouse. We need that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was rich, that's what I'd done. Like, we need it. How come Oprah can't, like, had an Oprah Winfrey NIL?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you, what college... If you were, like, if Cool Hype Radio was, like, Cool Hype in Inc.,
mm-hmm.
think about Cool Hype Inc., you are the richest nigga in Chicago.
Yeah.
What school you giving NIL money to and making them a powerhouse?
In the Chicago area?
In the Chicagoland area.
Man, we got to do something with Malcolm X College, bro.
Ooh.
X. What we doing with Malcolm X College?
I am Malcolm X.
What we doing? Like, I haven't heard anything. I just know Malcolm X College is here, but I don't know if they have any athletics or anything of that nature. You know, why wouldn't you want to come play for Malcolm X?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Who wouldn't want to come play with Malcolm X College? So
you gonna make that happen?
We gotta do something, bro. We gotta
NIL.
We need that.
Mm.
That's what we need. Matter of fact, Malcolm X College would be an all black school though. Only black kids can come. I ain't shit. I think Malcolm X would have wanted it that way.
Hey,
We got to do it for Malcolm, bro.
Hey, you know what school? You know what school?
Black powerhouse school in Chicago.
You know what school I'll do that for?
Yeah.
Wilbur Wright College.
Wilbur Wright College?
Yeah. It is a reason. Because according to my cousin, my uncle had my grandmother thinking that he owned Wilbur Wright College. Like, she used to give me the pamphlet and be like, yo, that's your uncle's school. I used to look at my great-grandmother like, all right, no, it ain't. But we're going to make Wilbur Wright a powerhouse. Bang NIL, we're going to have $1 billion set up.
Yeah.
We have $1 billion set up. We're going to build the facilities. And we're going to take over Chicago sports. Mm-hmm. Like, all them players from Morgan Park, all the players from Dunbar, or Simeon, excuse me. Mm-hmm. All of them, like Simeon kids, some suburban kids, they go on the Wilbur Wright. Mm-hmm. And we going to make them a powerhouse. Matter of fact, we'll have like Crosstown Classics, Malcolm X versus Wilbur Wright. and we going to be the number one team in the country.
Yeah.
We're going to be number one team in the country. Yeah. We're going to do it, Mike.
Okay. I'm with it.
But, I like your idea for Malcolm X.
We need that. Streets need that.
Streets need that. Hey, before we get out of here, though, Mike, we got to go back to the soft core conversation. We got to go back. Because I think that was a great topic to start off the show with, one. Mm-hmm. Two, why did HBO decide to take Real off the streaming platform?
Honestly, bro.
And we got to have a real conversation.
I would want to say, you know what, look, check this out, bro. I kind of just blame it on, I don't know what like the porn websites looked like back in the day.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know like if Pornhub and X videos, was that a thing like back then? Like, what was people going on the internet to look at, like, on, like, porn-wise? I think once porn hit the internet, I think it just didn't really make sense
for us to
put those shows on HBO anymore. It didn't make sense. They might have...
Go ahead.
Why do I have to pay HBO for a subscription to look at porn? Like, and I could just go on the internet and just look at it now.
But see, shows like Real Sex, was it about the sex?
It was about
the intricacies, the nuances.
Absolutely.
It was about the story.
Exactly. I was about to say, like, if you kind of made you appreciate storylines,
yeah,
like that lead up to the sex. You know what I'm saying? So it was cool to have, but I just feel like I think porn took the idea. Like, look, this is what we need to be doing.
That's disappointing.
I think they was watching this shit. They were like, look, bro, and so everybody's got storylines and shit in this porn, and then they're not even showing everything. Like, you know what they're doing, but they're not actually, you're not seeing the, you know what I'm saying, how do I explain it without being really vulgar on the pod? So you're not actually seeing. Mm-hmm.
You're not seeing insertion.
Yeah, you're not. Yeah, there you go. You're not actually seeing that. So it's like, I think porn actually like was like, look, we can put this shit on the internet, bro.
Nah, I think that's disappointing. They jacked
Cinemax and HBO for their ideas, fam. And just like, look, this is what it's gonna be like. Okay, this is what it is. We're putting this on the internet, and you can get to this shit for free. So I'm thinking like, well, I can watch this on the internet. Why I gotta pay? Why I gotta pay for HBO anymore to watch that? And I could get it on the internet. I think the internet took over and killed the game of soft porn on cable channels.
I think as a teenager, as a kid, I think that Real Sex was the most educational TV show. It's more educational than Sesame Street.
Yeah.
It was more educational than a lot of TV shows that you saw over there. I believe that show was one of the most educational shows of all time, and it needs to come back.
K. Can you like even watch any of that anymore? Like, I'm pretty sure it's like somewhere available on the internet.
It's on the internet somewhere. I think I had Googled it and I had saw some of it, but I think it's some of the most educational television episodes of all time.
That show ran for,
and it needs to be re-released.
That show ran for like 19 years, bro.
It did.
Real Sex came out in 1990 and ran all the way to 2009.
Wow, I did not know that.
That's a long run, bro.
Oh, that's a run.
That's a run. Clap it up for that. What a run. So
we need that on DVD. We need that on. We need the box set. We need the box set. We need that back, HBO Max.
Yeah.
If you could put Game of Thrones on there, if you could put Game of Thrones on there, and some of the stuff that you see on Game of Thrones, you could put real back.
So I'm reading a thread on Reddit, and yeah. I think that they're asking like what happened to the show. And then I think somebody said they quietly disappeared a few years ago. The adult content used to be on HBO Go. So HBO definitely has them. They're just choosing not to share them.
They gotta bring it back.
or at least give us the archives. Like, let us watch the old, like, you know what I'm saying?
We can quality education.
Them. Crazy. Dude, I don't think they can't do that now though, bang, because these the kids have access to HBO, you know what I'm saying?
That's the parents.
Yeah, you're right.
The parents. Right, bro. Like your dad had the black box. As you said, your dad had the black box. Yeah. So what could you watch? What three things you could watch, Mike?
I was able to watch all the WWE pay-per-views. Mm. I was able to watch any boxing match. So when Tyson and Evander Holyfield and all of them saying boxers back in the 90s that was doing their thing, all the heavyweight pay-per-views, I was able to watch those, and I was able to watch the Spice Channel. It was all available.
That's your daddy fault. If your daddy didn't want you to watch it, he would have locked that black box.
Man, I think my old man did think he thought I was dumb. He didn't think I was gonna discover that shit, bro.
You better put that you better make that shit password protected.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Luckily, my kids ain't have to go through what I went through. Uh-huh. They ain't have to see what I get to see. Uh-huh. But just know they daddy a G, because they daddy and his cousins was looking for nipples and squiggly lines. And we saw them.
That is funny, bro.
Is this mayor?
That shit funny.
This mayor.
Yeah, that shit is funny.
Is that, oh, look at that. That's mayor. Look at that. See, you didn't have that luxury, Mike, because you had a black box. See, me, I struggled to get what I got in the world.
No, I had a black box in my own room.
I struggled to get, and see, you had the black box in your own room.
Close the door and everything, bro.
You see? Nah, Mike, I had to struggle for mine. I had to struggle for mine.
I ain't get it out the mud like you, huh?
Nah, I got it out the mud. I got it out the mud. See, you was out there. You ain't have to worry about none of that. Me, mm-hmm. I got it out the mud. Squiggly lines, we gonna find it.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, uh-huh. If they black, oh man, they gonna be a little bit too dark. White women, oh, there we go.
This shit funny.
We might see something. We might see some. Oops, Dad, I ordered this by accident. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that happened. Ooh, yeah, nah. Got it out the mud. Hey, man. Hey, next week is Mike's birthday.
Hey, right? 38th birthday, bro. Damn. I know, right?
Before we go, mental health check.
Mental health check. It's, you know what, bang? I mean, it's up and down right now, bro. Like this one, this Christmas, this birthday is going to hit a little different. But, you know, we getting through it. Shout out to the family. You know, and everybody like that, they looking after the kid, looking out for the kid and everything like that. So, you know, we gonna get through this one. But yeah, man, other than that though, I'm all right though, bro. I think being an eighth grade parent right now, fam, everything my daughter got going on, fam, is just keeping me
keeping me moving, you know, keeping me like, you know, afloat, you know, with everything like that. So everything is good, fam. What the Christmas shopping looking like for you, bang? How you
doing? Started.
Damn, you are a nigga for real. And you have three kids, bang.
So one,
what are you doing?
I don't know. Mental health check. Man, yeah, shit.
How's
been,
your mental?
Man, shit been wild. Shit been dark. I ain't even gonna front. Mm-hmm. Shit been dark. But shouts out the family for helping me through it. But yeah, shit been dark. Like having funny conversations like this helps.
Absolutely.
And stuff too. But it's been wild. But then also, I'm not the Christmas person.
Okay.
I'm not Bah Humbug. Like, I'm not Christmas Carol. I'ma wake up and three motherfuckers like showing me the past, present, and future. Like, I ain't that. Yeah.
You're not the Grinch.
I'm not the Grinch. I'm not like the Bah Humbug nigga.
Yeah.
I'm not none of that. I'm just not a Christmas person. I worked in retail for been 10 years. So
I can understand that. I can understand that.
Yeah, let's get this shit over with. I'm straight. Like, I don't only like three Christmas songs. Like, I only like three Christmas songs.
Yeah.
And it's funny because four. I like four Christmas songs, and it's funny because I can listen to those songs when it not being Christmas. That's Donny Hathaway This Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
That's What Do the Lonely Do at Christmas? The Emotions. Snoop and them, Santa Claus Go Straight to the Ghetto.
Absolutely.
And the most underrated Christmas song of all time does not get talked about enough. Alexander O'Neal, Sleigh Ride.
Okay.
Y'all niggas, when y'all have y'all Christmas playlist, Alexander, Sleigh Ride. Do, 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 do. Sleigh Ride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, y'all better put that in y'all playlist. If y'all don't have that in y'all playlist, y'all bullshitting.
Yeah.
That joint used to get the parties cracking in the 80s. You get the...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Those are my four Christmas joints.
Okay.
I don't want to hear the Mariah Carey shit.
Of course.
He simply have it. A wonderful Christmas. I don't want to hear that shit. I want to hear What Do the Lonely Do at Christmas. I want to get some tequila and just sit.
Mm-hmm.
Or I want to party. Or, you know, This Christmas, Donny Hathaway.
Absolutely.
Santa Claus going straight to the ghetto. Like them it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to hear the Temptations. Now, in my mind, I want to be free.
Yeah.
Oh, silent. When I hear that song, you know what I think about, Mike?
Yeah.
I think about drunk niggas singing in the garbage can with fire. Anytime I hear Silent Night by the Temptations. Like, it's niggas drunk and they got a garbage can that's fire and they singing. Like harmonizing. That shit they got to see, but we losing recipes though. Even though that's what that shit remind me of. Mike, when the last time you saw niggas just around the fire singing?
Whoo. Like outside?
Yeah, in the cold.
I haven't seen that, bro. Yeah, that's like some of that shit you see in
just
the movies.
Enough. You don't see the movies. Living. Motherfucker. Jail of Earth ass was cold as hell. Living just enough for the city of. Living, like somebody got to explain what make a nigga just sing around a garbage can for fire. Like, then go your ass in the house. Why are you trying to harmonize?
Yeah.
Why are you trying to do five part harmony in the winter? City, oh yeah. Oh man, that shit was cold as hell. Like, no nigga, you cold as hell. Why, Mike? Like, why?
Nah.
Like, somebody in the group got to be like, yo, can we do this in the basement?
Yeah, like, why we gotta sit outside, bro? Like I mean,
hey, y'all, listen.
Calm that shit down.
There we go. See, that's y'all know. Y'all hear me doing the pod, y'all hear me shit. Hit shit back.
Here we go. Hold on.
Listen now.
That's Liam. She told Liam has to sit down. See, that's the shit. That's the shit. All right, man. Hey, a great episode, man. But this definitely helped my mental. Now I got to go ahead and help my mental out a little bit more and do some more shit. Go. So, Mike, end us off, man.
Hey, man, some do pie. I think my screen froze, but we still here. We made it anyway. It's all good. Yo, some do pie. Make sure y'all rate. Make sure y'all like. Make sure y'all subscribe. Search the Barber's Chair Network. That is where you will find all episodes. Some do pie. All right, man. Facebook group, hashtag some do pie. IG at some do pie. Twitter at some do pie. At Barber's Chair Network. You know what I'm saying? I'm Mike B. That's Jared Bang. Merry Christmas to everybody. And you know what I'm saying? We'll catch y'all on the next episode.
City. He. Oh, yeah.
Yo, it's your girl, Nate Kale. And this is Some New Podcast. We out. Peace.